Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Astros. Find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can they find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and Astros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
And you always stand up for the Astros, right?
That's right. I'm standing up today. I'm trying a new thing today. Standing up on the podcast. Let's stand up for the Astros, baby.
Speaking of standing up for the Astros, if you would like to stand up and speak for the Astros, why don't you join Spotify Green Room? We're going to do probably a room this week, and this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join us this week, probably on Saturday or Friday or Saturday, sometimes even Sunday. We just kind of pick a day that we could both do it and join the action. You could become part of our podcast, and we've had some good interaction. So Spotify Green Room. Changing the way we talk sports. And so I know people are probably getting tired of it, but Jake Odorizzi, we're going to have to kind of address this today. He came out and actually issued an apology to the fans, and he didn't need to do this, but it was kind of awesome what he did. So we'll read this. We're going to be facing Shohei Ohtani. We'll kind of address this as well. And I want to kind of address the elephant in the room. How have the relievers done since the Astros have acquired them, the three guys, and also Ryan Pressly? How has he done since the Astros have gone out and got those three relievers? I'm not even looking at Ryan Montero because he's not even on the team right now. So that's a few of the topics we're going to be talking about throughout the show. So keep listening and keep on subscribing to the Locked On Astros podcast on YouTube, and keep on listening on Odyssey, Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Keep on listening to Locked On Astros podcast. So I'm really excited. We're going to be playing the Angels seven more times. Yeah. It's kind of like a buffet. It's like you want to get all those W's, get all those wins, keep on winning. That way you don't have to worry about this. And before we get too deep into this, I like Baseball Reference because they have what's called the Pythagorean win total and the wins and losses. And according to how many runs these Astros have scored and how many they've given up, the Astros win and loss record should be 86 and 53. Their actual win record is 81 and 58, which means that the Astros have had some bad luck. And I know some people would say, oh, it's all Dusty's fault, or they've made some bad.
Yeah, we've got some. I cannot imagine why a single soul would ever blame Dusty.
But so that just kind of shows that the Astros are better than they seem. It's just they've had some bad luck this year. And just imagine all those home runs earlier in the year, that all those hard hits that Kyle Tucker hit, if they would have gone for home runs or doubles, just imagine how many more wins this team can have.
No, yeah, definitely. You know, Kyle Tucker's definitely found his way. I know on the YouTube game of the week, he got player of the week. They were showing all his hits, you know, his double, his ground rule double, his home runs, his catches, and just playing phenomenal baseball, you know. And now, Eric, we've got Alex Bregman back. He's feeling great, you know, and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, I don't think there's a whole lot to worry about outside of the pitching. I think our biggest question mark is the relief pitching. I know we're going to tee that up tonight and talk about those issues that we've seen lately, namely with the relief pitching. Because Eric, when you look statistically at our starting pitchers, they have the most wins. They have the lowest ERA, I believe, in the league. Our starters are top in the league. They're top five in just about every pitching category. Where, remember, at the beginning of the season, when we were talking with other Locked On hosts having crossovers, they were not. They were kind of towards the bottom. And so our starting pitching has not been the issue, even though we're missing big arms. The guys we have stepped up. And what a marquee matchup for Friday night's game. Shohei Ohtani against Framber Valdez. And imagine if these two guys are on and it's a pitcher's duel. Just exciting stuff. Even though the Angels aren't competing for a playoff spot, it's still fun to have them come to town because of who they sport and who they field with their team. Because they got some young talent. Jared Walsh, Joe Adell's really coming to his own. So the Angels aren't going to come in here and lay down, but I don't expect the Astros to have a whole lot of issues with taken the series from the Angels this weekend.
So overall, the Astros bullpen is, before we get into the Angels series, the Astros bullpen is 25-28 on the season. They have a 4.14 ERA, which overall is not terrible. They have 31 saves in 53 opportunities. That's not great. They have 526 strikeouts in 471 innings pitched. When you look at this team, you wouldn't think that they're a huge strikeout team, especially with the relievers. I know you have Ryan Pressly. He's a strikeout pitcher. Ryan Stanek has become a strikeout pitcher.
Oh, you have Brooks Raley.
Yeah.
Brooks Raley's become a strikeout pitcher. I mean, that guy strikes out at least two batters, it seems like, per inning, per outing.
But if you look at the batting average against, the Astros are actually kind of in the middle of the pack. They're actually number 10. They're tied for like three teams with a 231 batting average against. So what gets them, I believe, is their whip in terms of their bullpen. They're 13th in the league with a 131, and they're tied with the – who is that? My eyes are bad. The Indians. So – with their, in terms of their bullpen, and this is American League and National League.
So it seems to be a trend that I've noticed, and let me know if this is something you've noticed, and hopefully maybe our listeners have picked up on this. It seems like guys that hit for average or are like hot don't always have great success, but it seems like the guys on the teams that are like batting like 213 or 208 seem to have a ton of success against this team. You know, just like Kelnick this last weekend, he's not hitting good at all. And I know Seager, I know he is an Astros killer. It must be that whistling. It must be that stealing signs. No, but seriously, like, it seems like the teams that have these underperforming hitters, when they play us, they perform well, but they're hitters that are expected to hit don't do as much damage. Now, I don't have all the hard numbers to say, okay, this is definitive. It just appears that way. Those are the things that stick out of my mind. I'm like, this guy's hit, like, someone hits a home run. Wait, that guy's hitting 211. How did he just hit a home run? That guy's hitting 198. He just hit. And that scene, like you said, that bad luck, like the pitcher's pitches have not been great. Right. The location has been off. I mean, guys like Maton the other day, it just seems like, in some scenarios, they're a little snake bitten. Regardless, they have 81 wins. So
right, I know. And I know we're focusing on bullpen today, but if you look at their walks per nine innings, and I know that Ben Verlander is in love with the Milwaukee Brewers. Their bullpen is giving up 4.31 walks per nine innings. The Astros bullpen is 18th overall with 4.01. So they're averaging four walks per nine innings pitched by their bullpen. That's pretty high. The highest is the St. Louis Cardinals with 4.67. The lowest is the San Francisco Giants. I'm not surprised there at all, with 2.74.
Yeah.
So that's why
they're going to win the AL West. I mean,
yeah. So it's about 1.25 more than less than the Astros are. So that just shows the quality of the Giants bullpen there.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, that's the thing. But this team, top to bottom, like I said, I still think is the team to beat out of the American League. I believe that over the White Sox. I honestly believe that over the Rays. And I know the Rays, you and I were talking before the show, that the Rays have scored the most runs in all of Major League Baseball. The Astros are second to them, and Astros have been second to them for at least a month or two now. But come playoff time, it's different. And I know some people are like, oh man, I'm so worried if this team makes it to the playoff, I just don't know if they can win a series. I'm like, harken back to 2020. Remember that? And we did that, Eric, with high A pitchers and double A pitchers outperforming their expectations. Now we have bona fide major leaguers. And one of the things I want to point to, our team has more games experience playoff than any other team in the major leagues. That is going to bode well for us in the playoffs, no matter who we face.
You know what? Sometimes it's hard to look at the numbers, especially financial. And when in a second, we're going to look at the numbers of the relievers we acquired after deadline. How are they doing? But when you have trouble looking at your financials and you need some help, why don't you ask NetSuite to help? So talk to us about that.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Slow is just right if you're on vacation, if you're a sloth, or describing QuickBooks, more like slow books. It sucks you in and slows you down with manual processes, integration difficulties, and glitchy delays that leave you scrambling for the numbers you need. Now it is time to make the switch to NetSuite by Oracle, the number one financial system, because NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more. It's everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time, no matter how big your business grows. Failing to switch to NetSuite will leave you stuck trying to make sense of your books while your competitors sprint ahead. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility control since switching to NetSuite. And right now, special financing is back. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program only for those ready to switch today. Head to netsuite.com/lockedon right now. Get special financing at netsuite.com/lockedon. netsuite.com/lockedon. Go to them now and save money.
After looking at Yimi Garcia's number, I think he needs a belt bar. His stats have not been good as a Houston Astro.
He does, you know, and it's very simple. You grab a Built Bar, you open it up, and you eat it. It's that simple. They're delicious. They're good for you. And they are passionate about everything. Everything because it's for the healthy, conscious guy or girl. Heck, go out and grab a mix box. Grab salted caramel. Just salt. They actually have banana pudding Built Puffs. And this is like a marshmallow treat with wrapped in chocolate, and it's still got a ton of protein in it. 17 to 18 grams of protein, ranges from 130 to 180 calories, only 45 grams of sugar, 45 grams of net carbs, amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. The grasshopper cookie, raspberry, whatever you like, they have it. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the USA track and field team, and I know many Division I college teams consume them. Go to built.com and use a promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Use a promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off. Go to builtbar.com. Go to built.com and save today.
All righty. So let's have a little drum roll. Okay. And stick around, because in a second, we're going to talk about the Angel series. And we're going to be facing Shohei Ohtani. What have the Astros done against him this year and in his career? Yimi Garcia, since the trade, in 15 games and 12 and one-third innings pitch, he's allowed 12 hits, 7 runs. Opponents have a slash line at 245, 275, 408, 683. While that doesn't sound terrible, his ERA is 5.11.
Womp, womp, womp.
Okay. Phil Maton, since in 17 games, it's 16 and one-third innings pitch, 17 hits, a slash line at 270, 360, 397, 757. That's not good, but his ERA is only 4.41.
It's only 4.41. Yeah, he only pitches like one inning, and his ERA is almost 5. I guess that's not bad, but yeah. Oh, I digress. Sorry, go ahead.
And Kendall Graveman, I didn't put how many games he's pitched in, but in 16 innings pitched, he's allowed 12 hits, has a slash line at 207, 324, 293, 617, and a ERA of 338.
Do you have his ERA plus or not?
No, I did not get
okay.
All that.
That's okay. No, it's okay. Because, you know, someone once told me like ERA is not a good barometer for pitchers. But no, I'm totally giving you a hard time. But those are numbers that when we traded for these guys, now I believe that's been skewed a little bit by what they've done lately, right? Because they started out really hot and they've kind of cooled off. There was this like BS online about, oh, well, maybe Kendall Graveman is homesick. Now, he's a professional. He's not homesick. Like, he wasn't in Seattle for 14 years and then finally changed uniforms. I mean, he was in Oakland before he was in Seattle. He's not homesick. He just didn't do well in some relief appearances. And part of the relief pitching problems we hit on the previous podcast, if y'all listen, and that's why y'all got to listen every day and subscribe and follow us, because we talk about these things. Ryan Pressly, when he's not in save situations, he doesn't perform well. And sometimes these guys are going to have bumps in the road. But Eric, wouldn't you rather them have bumps in the road now, get it figured out, and get dialed in for the playoffs? Right. Or be perfect during the season and then totally crap the bed when they get to the playoffs and then go, oh, well, there goes our playoff chances. These guys, what happened to them?
So Ryan Pressly, since the trade deadline, has pitched in 12 and two-thirds innings pitched, allowed 11 hits, slash line at 234, 294, 340, 635, and an ERA of 355. So that has been skewed actually a lot recently by his last two games. but he was actually doing pretty good there for a while. But
non-save opportunities, we hit on that. That's for whatever reason. And like you said, he should be fine because he was a setup guy. But, you know, that's the thing with relief pitching, Eric. It is a, I mean, baseball is a mental game anyways. Relief pitching is all the more mental. And so, and that's why when they make a mistake, everybody freaks out because, well, gosh, you just came in for like two outs and you give up three runs. You're terrible. Well, they may not be terrible. They may be unlucky at two as well.
Right. So the Astros have the best winning record against teams with a winning record. That's a riddle there, but they have a 581 winning percentage. The Padres have a 567 winning percentage against teams with a winning percentage. And the Brewers now have a 554 winning percentage against teams with a winning percentage. So,
and guess what? We don't care how they do against bad teams because they'll all be at home and on the couch watching the playoffs.
Right. So basically, and Steve Harden actually mentioned that. So in a comment when we said, does anybody want to have any questions? So somebody needs to tell Dusty having a team full of rested players does you no good if you're watching the playoffs from the living room couch. Win the division first, then rest your players all you want.
Wow.
A little harsh there, Steve, but I know what you're trying to say there. But
yeah, you know, and that's what we've talked about too. I think that plays into just the game is different with relief pitchers, with, you know, them not having the endurance to go. I mean, you know, we grew up watching the pitchers, the Mike Scotts, the Nolan Ryans, and I grew up watching Steve Carlton, you know, Roger Clemens, all these guys, and they were durable and they'd lasted. And, you know, the era we're in is resting is a thing. And I think with as much working out as these guys do, with as much activity as they have, that they do need that rest. And I don't necessarily have an issue with the rest as long as it's not like, hey, we're like half a game up on the Mariners and we're now resting two of our big players. That's when I think it's an issue.
Right. So before we get into, you said there was a question.
So Astros choir guy sent a question in, and he said, what are your thoughts on the future of Forrest Whitley? Do you think he can recover and be the ace that we all wanted him to be? That's a tough question.
That's TBA. I know that he just started his throwing program. I think that they're going to be very slow with him. He is still just 24. He still has a lot of promise. He's faced a lot of controversy. The two failed drug tests. He's also had the injuries. He's supposed to be this can't miss prospect, and he's missed so far. He's never come up with the Astros, but he's come up close, and it hasn't clicked yet. Does that mean it's not going to happen? No. We've seen some late developing people. We've seen even the guy that played in rookie. I don't remember his name, but the guy that came up and the one that Dennis Quaid played, and the guy who came up and he was a substitute teacher. So we've seen late developing guys.
I think it was like Matt Moore or something like that was his name. So if I can address, I believe there's still hope because think about this. There's not the wear and tear or the tread off the tires like there would be had he just scrapped in the minor leagues for the last two or three seasons, right? And thrown and thrown and thrown. So he's still got a lot of traction left. But what has he done in this time? How much recovery has he had to do? Is all the recovery? Is he constantly changing his delivery? There's so many questions. It's a great question.
Right.
It's one of great mystery, and it's an unsolved mystery. Because he just started his throwing program. Let's fast forward. Let's take this to spring training next year and see where he's at. Right. He may make a name for himself in Double A Corpus. I expect him to be in Corpus next year throwing, and if he does well, he could go from Corpus to Sugar Land, I think, next season. That's very realistic. But it's all about how he recovers. And so, I mean, trust me, I bet you no one wants to be out there more than Forrest Whitley himself.
Right. Brandon Linder asked, who could make a playoff roster with a specific unique role, like how Miles Straw was used a few years ago as pinch runner? I guess like Chaz McCormick made a roster last year, even though he didn't really play. Then to go deeper, like Derek Fisher made the roster as a pinch runner.
Good point.
I would say I don't see that this year. If anybody makes the roster as that type of role, it'll be Jose Siri. But I just don't see that role.
You have
Myers already on the team.
You have Jake Myers and Chaz. So you think we're going to go with Jake Myers and Chaz both?
Yeah.
On the playoff. Okay. So Jose Siri would be, I think, that guy because
Diaz is cemented. The prize guy.
Yeah. Exactly. He would be because he's got that speed.
Right. And if you're looking for a surprise player, somebody to make the playoff roster out of nowhere, I would look for somebody like a Hunter Brown. Somebody to kind of come out of nowhere.
Marwin Gonzalez.
No, he's not really a surprise guy because people are already looking at him. But
I think he's
talking about as a surprise guy that come out of nowhere.
Yeah, I just don't think that they're going to.
I don't think they'll do it, but if you're looking for a surprise guy. Right.
Yeah, I think you would have to stick with the situation that he addressed, with the speed.
Urquidy is kind of developing slowly, and we don't know what
we'll talk about the
Jake Odorizzi situation in a second. We'll definitely talk about the Angels series coming up. But we still got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, so definitely.
Stick around and bet on us having some more good stuff to talk about. So let's talk about betonline.ag.
So, hey, it's that time of year. And as I'm talking right now, as we're recording this, the Dallas Cowboys are playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it's actually a pretty close game. And if you're hooked into betonline.ag, you probably got some good deals. You probably got in on their big opening day promo. You can still get in on other promos. Basically, $500,000 NFL mega contest, the world's largest 200,000 NFL survivor contest. It's open now at betonline.ag. Sign up today and receive a 100% welcome bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports, from football, basketball, boxing, baseball, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage. All the great offers are available right there in 2021 season. I mean, Tom Brady's 44. He is the GOAT. He's going to win a lot of games. Bet on him. Prop bet on how many touchdowns Mike Evans is going to get per game from Tom Brady. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Use the promo code Locked On.
What if I don't know what channel the Cowboys game is on, but what if you didn't have any channels and you needed DirecTV to watch it?
You know what? I'm glad you asked, because DirecTV Stream, it's like the one-stop shop for everything. Does this sound familiar? You got a device to catch the game. You got another one that lets you stream your favorite shows. Then you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about the simple way to get your entertainment that you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. You can watch your favorite sports, movies, shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. The best part? There's no annual contract, so get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Required. Content varies by package. So here's the deal. With the Houston Astros, we have one Carlos Correa, and I want to talk about this real quick. Carlos Correa just made it into a pretty high status, Eric. I wanted to hit on Carlos Correa before we talk about other things. Carlos Correa crossed the 6-win threshold, according to Baseball Reference WAR metrics. Correa is worth 6.1 BWAR amongst position players. Only Marcus Semien, a fellow free agent to be, is worth more at 6.4. That's huge for Carlos Correa. Right now, his confidence, I think, is at an all-time high, Eric. I don't know if you watched that recovery video that they made. I haven't watched the whole thing. There's a video that chronicled Alex Bregman's recovery and return back to the Astros, like 24 minutes long. It's on his YouTube channel. It's a really good little short film. Bregman's motivated, man. That dude has got a fire. And we talked about Tucker earlier. Tucker is just rolling. Altuve has started hitting again. Marwin's back. Brantley is just the professional hitter. I mean, dude, I'm so stoked for the playoffs. Like, I wish the playoffs was tomorrow just because I want it to happen. I want to see this team just take the league by storm.
All right, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Jacob Rizzi. He wrote I'm not going to read the whole letter, but basically he came out and said, a lot has been made about my recent post-game comments. I have spoken with my manager, coaches, teammates about them, and I want to take a moment to address the fan base in my own words. We had a tremendous and exciting win that night, and this overshadowed that, which I'm sorry about. The first question statement I was asked about was, 5 innings seems to be the limit at this point. How do you feel about that? Are you frustrated by that? And so he goes in to say everything that he's already talked about, basically that he gets frustrated with this. And yes, he gets sorry. He was sorry about this. And he wants to do everything as possible that he can to help the win every time he touched the mound. And basically this is, he goes on to say, this is a very special Astros team. I have a lot of passion and care for. I just thought I owed it to the fans out there to hear directly from me on this matter. Things I have been ironed out on our end moving forward, and the focus on solely on set on winning. Thanks for taking the time on this. Much love, Odo. So apparently he calls himself Odo.
Hey, I call him Odo. That's awesome. I feel like maybe we're baseball soulmates. I'm joking. Odo Rizzi, my initial reaction was, come on, man, like, you don't air that out. But once he explained it, he talked about it. I mean, look, who am I? I'm just a normal guy. I'm not a pro. I've never been in that setting. But, you know, I started thinking about it. It really bugs me as a coach when I have players, Eric, that aren't motivated. Like when I have players after a game that are upset that they lost, or if they shed a tear because they lost or something, I'm like, hey, they have emotion. They care, right? If they just walk off and go, hey, let's go play at our friend's house. And I'm like, wait, you realize you just got your butt kicked. Like, and I know those are kids, but when you see a professional do this and come back and recognize, look, this is about the team, it's not about me, I thought it was really poignant. I don't know that he had to apologize, but the fact that he did shows you that he's not just in it for himself, shows you that he's got a drive. And like I said, this may be a turning point for him. This may be something that lights him on fire. This may be something that he needed to do for himself so that he could be better for the team. And I'm for that, because you got Carlos Correa, who's already done stuff like this. You've got guys like Bregman. Odo Rizzi, that just means he fits in. And that means that he'll take on whatever role they give him in the playoffs, I believe.
True or false? The Astros have scored more than 100 runs than the Angels have this year.
True.
Okay, yes. It's exactly 101 runs. So the Astros have scored 730 runs. The Angels have only scored 630. So looking at the home runs wise, the Astros have hit 180. The Angels have hit 169. So the Astros are definitely the better team. The Astros are still up there with a 779 OPS. The Angels are they're without Mike Trout. I'm sure this number would be a little bit higher if Mike Trout was healthy this year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and yes, he would probably have – he would be – you know what? That would be actually entertaining. Trout and Otani fighting for the home run title. I mean, that would just be, I mean, say what you want about being an Astros fan, but who wouldn't love to see that?
Okay. Now, true or false, is the Astros ERA about a whole run better than the Angels?
False.
It is. Let me clarify. It is.
You got to be ready with the answer.
it is. I don't know if it's true or false. The Angels ERA is 4.70 and the Astros is 3.73. So I don't. Okay. So I'm too tired to realize if that's true or false. But anyway, it's pretty darn close either way. So yeah, too dang tired to figure it out. So, but definitely, you can see where the Angels, why they are where they are. They are a good team. They do have a decent offense, but their pitching is just not there. Shohei Ohtani can only do so much. And the Astros will be facing Shohei Ohtani, and they faced him one time this year, and he took care of business. The Astros struck out 10 times. And who was the only Astro to hit a home run? Do you remember?
Off of Shohei Ohtani, was it Alex Bregman?
Nope.
Carlos Correa?
No.
Yuli Gurriel?
Nope.
Martín Maldonado.
You're eventually going to get it.
Garrett Stubbs. I'm joking.
He wasn't even on the team that time.
I know. Kyle Tucker. Okay, Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, Kyle Tucker was one of four people to actually get hit that game.
Okay.
So, so that game, it was, let me see who the other guys was. It was, I think I may have closed it, but it was only Altuve got a hit, and then they're all singles. Alvarez got a hit. Michael Brantley got a hit. Then Kyle Tucker is the only one that got the extra base hit, which was a home run. So that was a game. I forgot how many innings he pitched in that game, but it was.
I should have said Jake Myers, because he did hit two home runs in Anaheim. So that would be someone you would think did it. But
no, this was at Minute Maid Park, I believe.
This was
like the first series the Astros played him at the beginning year. So I remember that very clearly. And I was like, man, the Angels are a good team. And then.
Yeah.
And then so, it went downhill.
So here's the thing, Eric. And Otani's like, he has won his last, no, he's, yeah, he's won his last, like, four of his last five games. I believe he's won. Has he gotten the win?
The Astros four of the last five games.
He hasn't. But see, he's 9-1. I know he hasn't. But he's, what I mean is he's pitching really well. And this is what's astounding. And we just have to say this and recognize this. He's doing things that Babe Ruth didn't even do. Babe Ruth never hit 30 home runs and pitched 10 games in a season. He's got 43 home runs. He's 9-1. He's on the brink of getting his 10th win. We want to keep him from getting his 10th win at Minute Maid Park. Not we, but the Astros want to do that. But what he's doing at the plate and on the mound and in the same game at times is just crazy. If Shohei Ohtani doesn't win the MVP over Vlad Guerrero Jr., I think it will be absolute robbery. I think Shohei Ohtani deserves it because of the pitching. If you're going off just hitting, Vlad Guerrero Jr. probably wins it because Ohtani is only batting .257. But with the power he provides and being able to pitch, that is unheard of in today's game, especially with the specialized positions and all the game changes we've talked about. That's not modern baseball, and he's doing things that no one else can do.
All right, so yeah, actually Tucker's the only one in Astros history at least the current Astros history, the players who are on the current team to hit a home run off of Shohei Ohtani. So, and the Astros outside of Marwin Gonzalez, granted it's only two at bats, but Marwin Gonzalez is batting .500. So this should be an interesting matchup between him and Framber Valdez in the first game. And Valdez, he has to be on.
He can't walk.
And I know that we had Dusty Baker kind of talk about going deeper in games. Framber Valdez has got to go deeper in games. And then in game two, it's going to be Luis Garcia with a 10-6 record with 3.29 ERA versus Jose Suarez. He has a 6-6 record with its 3.74 ERA. So off the top of my head, Jose Altuve has a home run and he's batting 545 against Suarez. So I would say that's pretty good. Then Carlos Correa is only through three bats. He's batting .667. But other than that, the rest of the Astros, nothing really to get too excited about. Go ahead.
I like the Astros in the first two games. I think they're allergic to sweeps. I don't think they'll sweep. I think they'll win Friday, Saturday, and I think they'll lose Sunday. I'm not confident that they can win a day game and where a sweep is on the line. I just don't see them doing it. But for those of y'all listening, if you follow us on Twitter, if you follow me on Twitter and you go to the game Friday or Saturday, hit me up on Twitter. I'll meet up with you fifth inning Friday and Saturday night at St. Arnold's. Come meet me. We'll hang out. I'll see if I have some locked on stickers I can hand you as well.
All right. And Jared Walsh is actually has two home runs off Luis Garcia as well. And he's batting .714. So that would be an interesting matchup to watch.
And he's coming to his own. And even though the Angels aren't a great team, like I said, Jared Walsh, Joe Adell, obviously Ohtani. Brandon Marsh they've got some decent young players. And so this is definitely not a team that the Astros are going to scoff at. They're going to go out there, like Kyle Tucker said, and we're going to win like every game's a must win. We're going to play like every game is a must win. So I think the Astros take care of business. Friday night's going to be fire, dude. That is going to be a great matchup. I just hope the Astros get to Ohtani early because he's done that. I believe there was a game where he gave up like three or four home runs in like his first two innings. And the Astros just need to jump on him early. Don't let him get in a groove.
Right, for sure. So I'm looking at the schedule, and I don't see who. Oh, okay, it's going to be McCullers. Okay, for some reason the MLB doesn't have McCullers on there. So
maybe we'll get our first sweep. I like McCullers in the third game. You know?
Yeah. So in Sunday's game, it's going to be McCullers versus what's his first name? Jaime Barria. Okay. So Barria is 1-1 with a 7.97 ERA. I'm not going to make fun of him because that always.
No, because every time you do, they. Yeah.
So he is the best pitcher in the world.
He's amazing.
All hail Barria. You are the best pitcher ever. I want to go buy your jersey.
Reverse the curse.
Oh, actually, no. That's his away ERA. His actual ERA is 5.16.
So and that's that still high.
So that's so high. So he is.
No, that's low. That's pitcher. Low. He's great.
He's actually a good pitcher. Yes. Good for it. So anyway, so I'm excited for this this series, and the Astros will play the Angels seven more times. So they've got to get it out of their head. About the bad teams. They've got to play better against the bad teams.
Well, I think they're at home. I think that helps.
Yeah. So they've got to play better, and they've got to remember that they want to be able to rest these the players at the end of the season. So you got any final thoughts?
I just think that if you're going, that you need to be loud and you need to be excited, get hyped when you see the Astros hit those home runs and crush the Angels' dreams. And, you know, just don't freak out if a relief pitcher gives up a home run. Back Odorizzi. He is still on this team. Just try to steer away from the negativity, because we got too many things to be thankful for. And I mean, guys, we're going to the playoffs, and this team is one of the most talented teams to ever touch the playoffs. It rivals both teams in 17 and 19, I believe.
Okay. And if the Astros are able to beat Shohei Ohtani, anything can happen, because this guy is legit good.
He is.
I wish he was on the Astros pitching staff.
Oh, man.
Imagine this guy on the Astros. If the Astros had any chance to sign him, I wish they could have signed him. But at last, he is on the Angels, and he may never sniff the playoffs. You've heard that on the Lockdown Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. Make sure you keep on subscribing to us on YouTube, and don't forget about the Lockdown Bets podcast. They probably have the Astros favored to win the series versus the Angels, your boy Q and Lee Sterling. So keep on subscribing to Lockdown Bets and Lockdown Astros, and listen to them on Apple, Odyssey, wherever you listen to your podcasts. And we'll be back on Sunday with to talk about this. And go Astros.